Hey, this is Sharan Srivatsa. Welcome back to the Business School Podcast. And in this episode, I'm going to walk you through how to get famous quickly. Because when you want to do something fast, you got to have a formula for it. Otherwise, you spend a lot of time experimenting at not knowing exactly the right levers to pull to get you the exact result that you want. After looking back over my career and the career of several influencers and entrepreneurs I've advised, I've realized what it takes to drive and deliver fame, because fame is the most efficient business model. But if you don't have a formula for fame, we look back and we're like, I got to write a book. I got to be a musician. I got to be an athlete. I got to be on TV. I got to be in the movies, or I got to be a big time entrepreneur. I got to have a lot of money. All of that is interesting. And yes, that may accelerate the path, but you and I and anyone else can create fame on demand. And in this episode, I'm going to break down for you exactly the formula for fame. I show you how to get to the fame that you want really fast in a three-step framework, and it all starts right now. One thing is for certain. Just because it's tried and true doesn't mean it's working right now. So the big question is this: where can you learn what is working right now? The strategies, the tactics, the psychology, and the exact how-to. How to grow your business. How to blow up your personal brand and supercharge your personal growth? That is the question, and this podcast will give you the answer. My name is Sharan Srivatsa, and welcome to Business School. In the last 10, 15 years, we've seen this amazing transformation where people who have not really done anything have gotten to be famous. And I don't mean that in a negative way at all. I mean that in an extremely positive way, because it allows you and me to create this distribution channel using fame. People are still living into this, what I call the fame economy. And they're like, oh, wow, I don't know if I want to be famous. I'm kind of conscious about this. But nobody that is already famous will tell you that they wish they could go back. I'll say that again. Nobody that is already famous will tell you that they wish they could go back. Now, we live in this generation where fame is very accessible if you do it right. In the olden days, call it 25, 30 years ago, the only way you could, quote, get famous was if you either were on a TV show. So essentially you had TV or radio, or you were in politics, or you were an athlete. And that is the only way you really got famous. You were an athlete or an entertainer or a TV host, or you just ran a ton of advertising. Otherwise, you wouldn't really get famous. So the most famous people of kind of like the baby boomer generation are the ones that had books, had TV shows, had even entrepreneurs were not that famous, and or were athletes or actors. But what has happened in today's world is that we have democratized fame. You can become famous now. And I want you to think about fame not as a vanity thing, but fame as a business model. Fame is the most efficient business model. I will tell you, this is once every 14 years, I may come up with something smart to say, but I've been really thinking about this concept of how I wrote this down, where I said fame is the most efficient business model. Now, we always say, you can say something and then you can validate to see whether it's actually true. So for example, if you currently did some email marketing, say you had 10,000 people on your email list and you were sending out emails, call it two, three times a week. Well, imagine you woke up tomorrow and instead of 10,000 people on your email list, you had 500,000 people and you were famous. Or instead of having 10,000 followers on Instagram, you suddenly had 1 million. How would that work? It would change your world completely, right? Now, that's fascinating if you think about that, because now you have fame. And fame, in a lot of ways, it to me, is raw endorsed distribution. Think about that. Fame, to me, is raw and endorsed distribution. Because when Oprah tweets you out or tweets me out and says, hey, everyone should go follow Sharan, what is she doing? She's giving me raw endorsed distribution. She's saying with her doing that, what does it do for me? It creates more people, more eyeballs on whatever I am working on. And that is extremely important, because when you realize that fame is not a vanity thing and you realize that it's raw endorsed distribution, that's when powerful things start to happen. I will tell you right now, and I don't mean this in a negative way, you could combine 95% of the real estate companies in our space, and I personally have a bigger brand than all of them combined. I can move real estate markets, not in any other way, but in my little small world. And I'm not a media company like Inman or BAM. I'm not created to be an influencer, but what I can do is I can dramatically influence and move markets, because in my little, in our little world, tiny little world, I can be king, right? And it doesn't need a lot, because there's no one else that has this in what I do. Now, it didn't happen overnight, and I wish I had known this path before. So what I'm going to show you today is how to get famous fast, right? Getting famous fast is really important, and there is a formula for it, and I've seen it happen over and over again. And I want to give you this formula, because I think that if you get it and you understand it and you're willing to do the work, which I will tell you, you could do it in under a year. You could create 20 years of fame in under 12 months. And now, if someone told you you could create 20 years of wealth in under 12 months, how would you react to that? If someone told you you could create 20 years of happiness in under 12 months, how would you react to that? If someone told you you could create 20 years of relationships in under 12 months, how would you react to that? But when I tell you you can create 20 years of fame in under 12 months, most people won't take that into consideration. In fact, I'm going to show you a free way to create fame, and that's the most important thing. All right, so getting famous fast. I'm going to give you the exact kind of formula around it. It's got three big pieces of the puzzle, essentially six words. Number one, occupy mindshare. Number two, dominate a platform. Number three, leverage audience. Those are the three simple things. Number one, occupy mindshare. Number two, dominate platform. Number three, leverage an audience. And I want to tell you how I kind of came about this. So many years ago, some of you are part of my 5 a.m. club. If you're not part of the 5 a.m. club, go to 5amclub.net, the number 5amclub.net. It is a 5-minute call at 5 a.m. Pacific time every single day of the week. And it's a traditional conference call. It just has no pin or anything like that. It's 100% free. We've done this for 10 plus years. I've done thousands and thousands of calls. And the idea for the call is to create a espresso shot to start your day, right? And it's 5 a.m. Pacific time, which means if you're on the East Coast, it's 8 a.m. Eastern time. No reason for you not to be on. And it goes every single day of the week, including holidays. The interesting part is when I was starting the 5 a.m. club, I realized I came across this guy called Hal Elrod. Hal Elrod wrote this book called Miracle Morning. And the interesting part about this book called Miracle Morning is that when he created this Miracle Morning idea, he didn't just create the idea. What he did was he occupied a piece of time. Think about that. He occupied a piece of time. He said, hey, in the morning, when you run the Miracle Morning routine, you are running my protocol. He occupied a piece of time in your life. So every time you look at your calendar, you're like, hey, my morning routine, which is, quote, Miracle Morning. So he's occupied a piece of time. Hal Elrod created the Miracle Morning. Like, don't get me wrong. Hal Elrod's fantastic. But he didn't, like, he was not an athlete. He was not an actor. He was not an author, like he is in this case. But nothing like the ancient world or the former ancient world would give him kudos for. He created this idea called the Miracle Morning. And because of that, he has this thriving Facebook group. He's created this book. He went on this podcast tour, and now they started doing Miracle Morning for addiction, Miracle Morning for athletes, Miracle Morning for real estate agents, Miracle Morning for... He's literally franchised the book, which, similar to Chicken Soup for the Soul, they do Chicken Soup for the Soul for entrepreneurs, Chicken Soup for the Soul for, you know, consultants, Chicken Soup for the Soul for insurance brokers. It is amazing how he has created... Have one guy, Hal Elrod, created this concept called Miracle Morning, and he owned a piece of time, right? So how do we use this idea and the three things that I talked about to actually drive fame for you? So the first idea is occupy mindshare. And you may be like, well, Sharon, what the heck does that mean? Well, think about the Hal Elrod example. And what he did was he created one micro concept. All right? This one micro concept permeated through every single person's life. This one micro concept. And the way to actually do this is to, one, come up with this concept, like Hal Elrod came up with the Miracle Morning concept. You brand it, called the Miracle Morning. You talk about it everywhere. And like, you create this concept, you brand it, and you talk about it everywhere. That's it. Create the concept, brand it, and talk about it everywhere. I'll give you a couple other examples. So some of you may like or may not like Grant Cardone. Very interesting personality. You know, came up on the scene recently. Until like 6 years ago, you know, he was a used car salesman. You didn't really know what he was doing. But today he is one of the top influencers in the world. And he really doesn't care what people think. And that's interesting because he came up with this. He created this one micro concept called 10X. He wrote a book on 10X. He branded everything called 10X. His jet has this thing called 10X. He wears a shirt called 10X. He runs the 10X conference. He brands it. And then he talks about it everywhere, right? So he created this one micro concept, he branded it, and he talked about it everywhere, which is really powerful. Gary Vee did something similar. So many of you know Gary Vaynerchuk, and if you don't know Gary Vaynerchuk, you should look him up. And he started making a lot of content. He started being the wine guy. But if you think about it, the main concept that he started talking a lot about is empathy. Every time you see him do a video or ask a question that he's answering on stage, the 3 out of 5 answers are related to this one concept called empathy. That's it. He talks about empathy. He's like, hey, you don't have enough, you know, you have a lot more time than you think. You need to give yourself more grace and have more empathy, right? He's like, this is how you take care of your people. You need to have more empathy. He's like, the reason why you have misaligned expectations is you don't have enough empathy. He created this one micro concept around his brand. He branded it, and he's like, empathy is the answer. He even created a company called Empathy Wines, and he branded it, and he talks about it everywhere. If you are in the financial services space at all, you will hear this guy named Dave Ramsey. If you're not familiar with Dave Ramsey, all he talks about is he says how debt is bad, and he will always just say, cut up your credit cards and don't be in debt. He thinks saving is the way to salvation, which is very interesting. I completely disagree with it, by the way, because you don't really have the ability to utilize financial engineering in your favor. Instead, if you follow my money coaches, Russ Morgan and Joey Murray at Wealth Without Wall Street, they talk about the concept of how you actually create financial freedom without utilizing the institution that is Wall Street. And by the way, we run a publicly traded company. Like, I understand the power and the value of being publicly traded. And it's a liquidity mechanism for us, and it allows us to be transparent in how we do business. But conceptually speaking, I'm a big proponent of wealth without Wall Street. It is how the most wealth that was created, apart from, even if you took Warren Buffett, right? Even Warren Buffett didn't actually create wealth on Wall Street. Like, a lot of Warren Buffett's trades were doing warrants, block trades, and big money-moving trades for Berkshire Hathaway in outside of the public markets, meaning he had to go to a bank. Like, he invested when Goldman Sachs was struggling in 2008 during the Great Financial Crisis. You know, Buffett bought, you know, he invested like $50-ish million dollars in Goldman that turned into like a $5 billion trade or something wild like that. I don't know the exact numbers, but that was not a public market trade. That he was investing in a company. So even though it was publicly traded, it was not a Wall Street mechanism of 401ks, IRAs, etc. And the point I'm trying to make is Russ Morgan and Joey Murray created this concept. They created this one micro concept called Wealth Without Wall Street, right? And then they built that is their entire brand. They then took that brand and said, hey, you can create financial freedom without Wall Street. And then most people are like, well, what the heck is financial freedom? It's not just a number. So then they created this idea that financial freedom is where your passive income is greater than your monthly expenses. So think about that. Imagine your monthly expenses are $10,000 a month and you were able to generate passive income of $11,000 every month. For every conceptual way, you are financially free, right? You can do whatever you want without affecting your life. And that is amazing. That's what we want to get to, right? We want to get to a point where our passive income is greater than our monthly expenses. Therefore, it dramatically unlocks all time for us, because when we trade time for money, is when we think about this money trade, this time trade, this energy trade, this access trade, and you're frustrated, you're working too hard, and all of that, right? And that micro concept, number one, create one micro concept, wealth without Wall Street. Number two, you brand it. So they branded it using that word, wealth without Wall Street. And the third, they talk about it everywhere. It is the name of their book, it is the name of their podcast, it is the name of their brand, it is everything that they do, it is the ethos that they live in. In fact, it's crazy. They're my money coaches. Like, I call them out publicly on this. They believe in this so much that they don't even invest in real, because they're like, it's against their code, right? Because they're like, we can make money without Wall Street. That's cool, and I respect them for it. But the most important part here is to actually occupy mindshare. The occupying of mindshare is really important, because those are the three steps. One, create one micro concept. Number two, brand it. Number three, talk about it everywhere. Until you do this, you will never win, because you'll never be able to build a brand to actually do step number two. And step number two is dominate one platform. Step number two is dominate one platform. So if you, I actually just met, spent some time with Billie Jean recently. If you know Billie Jean, really great marketer. He dominated Facebook with paid ads. No one knew Billie Jean for 10 years, and he just ran paid ads that got millions and millions of views, and he just popped him on the scene. In fact, I just saw his AI presentation that he did recently, because he's doing a lot with AI, selling a lot of products around AI, etc. And he did like a 1-hour keynote, and he ran it as an ad, And he dominated that one platform, which is Facebook, which is brilliant. Jay Shetty did the same thing. If you know Jay Shetty, he created this, he started doing these viral videos. And he took that viral video and he talked about like kindness and empathy and what have you. And he started creating these viral videos. And they were all paid viral videos that he made. And he got a ton of traction. And that's how people got to know him. There was no Jay Shetty. Like, I don't mean this in a negative way. Jay Shetty hasn't done anything with his life. Like, that's not a good thing or a bad thing. Like, he didn't even release his book until recently. He was a monk for 6 months. In the olden days, there's no way. Like, he was not a Warren Buffett or an Elon Musk or a Jeff Bezos or a Jane Fonda or a Tom Cruise or a Taylor Swift or the Beatles. He was not any of them. But it's crazy that he has more followers than all of these people, because what he did was he created fame. And he created this one micro concept, he branded it, and he talked about it everywhere, and that allowed him to dominate one platform. What has Mr. Beast done, right? Mr. Beast created this concept of saying, I want to become the number one video maker in the world. And so he has more followers than Steven Spielberg. Like, he has a bigger audience than Star Wars. Like, more people know of Mr. Beast than they know of Star Wars. Like, that's crazy if you think about it, right? Because he dominated, he picked one platform, which is YouTube, and he dominated it. He's still, like, the other day he was doing this, I saw him doing this presentation, and he said, hey, if you know what I know, you can get to 10 million subscribers in 1 year. Like, think about what he just said. If you know what I know, you can get to 10 million subscribers in 1 year. Like, there's 99.99% of the world will never get to 10 million subscribers in their lifetime or multiple lifetimes, including me. Right? Which is amazing. What did Elon do on Twitter? There's one platform that Elon dominated on. He dominated Twitter with this one message of being snarky and being direct and doing all of that. And he wanted to democratize how that platform worked. So even with all the scandals, he bought Twitter, right? Which is pretty amazing. So step number one is occupy mindshare. So you do that by creating one micro concept, branding it, and talking about it everywhere. Step number two is dominating one platform, where you pick one platform and go so deep that you understand everything about that platform. And because of that, other things start to happen. Step number three is leverage others' audiences. Here's what I mean by that. Leveraging others' audiences is everyone else is trying to build an audience. Some people are trying to build a podcast audience. In this case, you're listening to me. I do a lot of single solo shows. I don't do a lot of guests because this is my way of teaching, sharing, creating with you and sharing my thoughts with you. There's a lot of other people that have interview shows, right? But all the interview shows, I'll say this to you, and hopefully this is helpful. Every single interview show is looking for the next guest. They want creators. They want talent. They want content. And the nice part is for them to produce a show is cheap, meaning let's say it costs them $5,000 to produce a show. So whether they do it with Elon or whether they do it with Sharon, it's the same exact thing. So they want to do as many shows as possible because they don't know which one is going to hit and who is going to be the next hot thing, right? So leveraging other people's audiences is important, but no one will want you on their platform if you don't have the first two in place. If you've not occupied mindshare and if you've not dominated one platform, they don't want you. Like, the reason why Jordan Peterson gets on shows, the reason why Alex Hormozi gets on shows, the reason why Leila Hormozi gets on shows, the reason why Mr. Beast gets on shows, the reason why Patrick Bet-David gets on shows, the reason why Gary Vaynerchuk gets on shows is because they have this one micro concept and they've dominated one platform at least. So because of that, they're able to do a lot more. And so leveraging other people's audiences is important. If you're not getting invited to stages, it means you don't have the first two pieces right. The only if you have the first two pieces right does someone want you on their stage so that you can share the thing with others. That's what's important. I'll give you a very simple analogy. Many years ago, I started this thing called the 5 a.m. Club. And because of the 5 a.m. Club, I got into Forbes and I got into like Entrepreneur Magazine. And it was crazy because I had this one micro concept that I had and they wanted to promote that. And then, you know, we built and sold a couple of companies. That was great. And then we had this big exit with TELUS and that was great. And then that started. Then the 10X and 5-year story started happening. And then after that, I had one more micro concept of, hey, you know, there's a dumpster diving story here that I never told the world. And now that I tell it, and now everybody wants to hear that because there's this one micro concept that you hear over and over again. There was never a common thread among all of this, which is nobody wants you to promote your thing on their show. They want you to talk about the thing that you're already known for so that it makes their show more popular, right? That's why the only way you can actually leverage other people's audiences is they want you because of your micro concept and because to dominate one platform. So the two things that you need to do right now is to occupy mindshare and dominate one platform. for the next 12 months, if you just occupied mindshare and dominated one platform, you win. Many people don't realize this. There was, you know, in the last, I think in the last 2-3 years, there was this concept of, this is one guy, his name is Andrew Tate. Andrew Tate became really famous on TikTok. Now, there, he's a pretty colorful personality. He's very chauvinistic and all of that. But if you put all of those, that aside, just looking at what he did, I'll explain this to you. He created a way in which he became so famous on TikTok without having his own TikTok account. Like, think about that. There's nobody that has become famous on their own without having their own profile. So he literally created this mechanism where people would take and post videos of him on all of their platforms. He would make money off of it from his affiliate marketing, but no one could ever censor him or take him down, because if it was one account and he was saying things that were chauvinistic or illegal or what have you, they would take him down, but no one could, because there were thousands and thousands and thousands of accounts that actually promoted what Andrew Tate was doing. And because of that, he became insanely famous, insanely quickly. I don't know of anybody in the recent world who has become as famous as Andrew Tate so quickly without, one, having a social media profile, and number two, without having done anything, right? There, in the real estate world, there's a lot of social media influencers, call it on Instagram or TikTok or Facebook, that are Insta-famous or TikTok famous. They haven't really done anything. They just became media famous. And here's the best part. I'm telling you, that's cool. Because now what they've done is they've created raw, endorsed distribution. Because if someone is getting 10, 20, 30,000 views on a video or 100,000 views on a video and their personality seems to connect with the world, they're not, like, in the previous world, they had to be good at something. Now they just have to be good at making a 90-second video. And because of that, they have raw, endorsed distribution. That's why fame is the most efficient business model. So all I have been talking about for the last kind of like 5 years is when I realized this, I just really been over-indexing on these exact same playbook, which is, hey, what is this one micro concept that I can create? And maybe I have multiple of those and it created over time. And then can I dominate one platform? And then can I leverage other people's audiences? That is the way that you dramatically create more fame. If you're interested in this, by the way, I actually do have a podcast very similar to this. It's called 10K Wisdom. It's this private podcast, meaning once you sign up for it, it'll actually show up in your podcast player. And I originally had it created for the CEOs that I advise and the founders that we've invested in through our private equity funds. And I just realized at some point that I should just make that available to you for free. So if you like this podcast, I don't talk about it a lot. If you like this podcast, you would like that. It's called 10K Wisdom. Because I give you $10,000 worth of value in every single episode in under 10 minutes. It's raw, it's real, there's no intro or outro, I go directly into it. I post whatever I can on that podcast. There's probably 100 plus episodes, you can go check it out. It's 100% free, there's no sales of any kind. It's 10kwisdom.com, that's number 10kwisdom.com. It's totally free. If you like this, you will like that. All right, so how to get famous fast. Number one, create one micro concept to occupy mindshare. Brand it, talk about it everywhere. Number two, dominate one single platform, because when you dominate that one single platform, you get famous so much more quickly and you don't get distracted. And number three, once you have the micro concept and you have the famous platform, then you can leverage other people's audiences, because that's when something powerful happens. So I wanted to share that with you as a framework, as a playbook that you can utilize for yourself, because fame is the most efficient business model. Because at the end of the day, fame is not a vanity thing. Fame is not a cultural thing. Fame is not a, oh, I don't have not really done anything. Just please know that the modern day influencer has not done anything. And I'm telling you that originally I was weirded out by that, but today I'm okay with it, because what it does is it provides unencumbered, raw, endorsed distribution. To me, that's all that is. That's fame, raw, endorsed distribution. And once you have that, you can build on, you can learn from it, you can create from it, you can do more with it. It makes everything significantly easier. So the question I ask myself is, what would make my life and my business significantly easier in a year? What am I working really hard at now? Am I cold calling? Am I door knocking? Am I sending out cold emails? Am I trying to pay for marketing? All of that right now. What would make all of that significantly easier in a year? And I know that if I have raw endorsed distribution, it makes my life significantly easier. So if I can spend the next 12 months creating fame in my own way, using this formula, using this methodology, using this framework, life gets very fun very quickly. So I really want to give the gift of manufacturing fame to you, take away the unintended consequences of how you may view it, etc. But I will tell you, in a year, if you can wake up and if there's one thing that you can have built into your life and in your business that will dramatically change your life forever, it is this: fame is the most efficient business model. So If you like this, do me a favor. I have no idea because you're not going to like or subscribe or any of that. If you do, that's even more amazing. I appreciate you. But take a screenshot, share this, tag me and tell me if you liked it. That way I know you like this and I make more like this for you. I appreciate you and I will catch you on the next one. Hey, Charan, I have a cool gift for you. Since you like this podcast, I actually have an ultra super secret private podcast that I make just for my partner companies and the CEOs and influencers that I advise. It's called 10K Wisdom because I try to wrap $10,000 worth of value in every single episode in just under 10 minutes. That's why it's called 10K Wisdom. It's raw, it's real, it's got no intro or outro or anything like that. It's just straight to the point and to the insights. Since you like this podcast, I think you will like that. So, for the first time, I'm making it available to you. Just go to 10kwisdom.com, the number 10kwisdom.com, and my team will activate it for you as my gift. Go to 10kwisdom.com. I'll see you there.